Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I'm usually joined in the studio with my co-host, Amy Otto, but she is out sick today, so it's up to me to handle the duties of the microphone today. And today we have a great show. We have Jocelyn Smith with Infinity, and we have Bill Vanderkloot with Magic Lantern, and what's your other company, Bill?
Vanderkloot Film and Television and Little Mammoth Media.
Oh, the whole shebang there. And we're going to get started today with Jocelyn, and she's going to tell us a little bit about Infinity. Jocelyn, do you mind kind of recapping your bio a little bit and tell us about what you guys do at Infinity?
Absolutely. Well, we're approaching our 20th anniversary this December, and I have a partner, Barbara McGraw, and we started in the industry having met one another at a previous direct marketing agency and left to start Infinity in 1989. We have approximately 11 employees full-time. Our offices are located in Buckhead, and we do a variety of work, including commercial, residential, shopping center, real estate, healthcare, banking, other financial institutions, and a variety of manufacturing and business-to-business.
Now, how'd you get into advertising? Were you born to be an advertiser?
Well, the funny part is, when I graduated from college, on my resume it said I wanted to start my own ad agency at the age of 30. That probably wasn't the wisest thing to put on my resume at the time.
You were committed. Now you had to do it.
Well, I was committed, and probably people hiring a junior-level account manager didn't want them taking over their business. But I managed to do it at age 31, so I missed it by 1 year.
So so you've always been interested, even as a kid, college, the whole time?
Well, one of my...
Was it Bewitched? No, it wasn't Bewitched.
But probably what I did best in high school and college was writing. And I majored in journalism, got a Bachelor of Arts in that, and knew I never wanted to really be a newspaper reporter, but I always wanted to get into a business where I could expand my horizons and do what I do best. And I'm really centrally in charge of new business and operations and management. So talking to people, meeting people is something I enjoy and love. So... that's how I got into it.
Are you involved in the creative aspect anymore?
Sometimes they ask me for my opinion. Usually when they're on the fence and they need a second or third. My partner, Barbara, handles most of that part of the business. That's her expertise and what she enjoys doing. And I think that's why we've had such a successful partnership over 20 years. We have a clear delineation of what she's in charge of and what I handle.
Now, when you're working with a client, can you kind of walk us through... like, what's the pain the client's feeling, and then why do they pick you guys?
Well, it varies from client to client. We have some clients that are agency of record agreements and others that are per project. When it's a per project, they're usually looking to us to help them with a specific objective for that piece that we're working on. When it's agency of record, we really get very much involved in their overall marketing plan, media plan, public relations plan. So it's all-encompassing. Those relationships are the ones that we like to form, not that we won't take per-project-based relationships, but those are the ones that seem to stay for quite a long time once they get to know us. I think that our service and attention to detail and expertise really exceeds their expectations.
Now, when you have that kind of a really intimate relationship with a company, are they hesitant to share all the, you know, all the like the stuff maybe they're not so proud of? Is that difficult?
Well, some companies, depending on their size, are a little bit more cautious about sharing some of the monetary issues that they face. But others open up to you in a much, much bigger way than you might expect. It really depends on the size of the company. We like to know as much as they can possibly expose us to. It really helps us to become a better marketing partner to them.
Now, can you share any stories where you went into a company and maybe they were going in one direction and you're like, you guys, they're missing something right here. Here's something really great that we can talk about, and maybe that would shift really the whole direction of the company?
Yes. There's a client that we have down in Destin, Florida, who has a major designer outlet center. And when we first started working with them, they pretty much had a fragmented media approach to how they were handling getting their messages out to the public. They have two major audiences, a local audience and then the tourist audience, being in Destin, Florida, right there on the beach. And we went through a media review process and actually invited all the media people into a boardroom and said, here's our goals and objectives for the property. Come back to us with your ideas and how you might be best suited to work with us. And then we eliminated a lot of people that they had been partnering with and narrowed it down to a few key strategic partnerships that really became effective. And every year since we've had the relationship, it's been, I think, 7 or 8 years now, one of our very long-standing accounts, we've increased sales per square foot. And that's really our bottom line when we're working with our clients, is increase their revenue. So that was a very exciting first couple of years, and I'm happy to say it's continued to be that way.
Do you ever do kind of pro bono work for some charities?
We absolutely do. Right now we're working with Kings Ridge Christian School. That is a school that John Smoltz is CEO and chairman of the board of. Jeff Foxworthy is also very involved in that school as well, and my partner serves on the board of directors. So we do a rebranding for them each year when she's on the board actively. We've also worked with the Marcus Institute, which is Bernie Marcus's charity. They help children with neurological and behavioral disorders, mostly autism, things of that nature. So every year we try to help at least one member of our local community, if not more.
Is that the most rewarding part of your job, do you think?
It is very rewarding. It's been interesting to see how we can help different institutions. And it's funny that we have always been drawn to institutions that involve children, probably because we're both women and we had young children when we started the agency. We're both empty nesters now, but still paying for college. So we relate to that.
Now, having the woman's perspective, do you think that that gives you kind of an edge in today's market?
Absolutely. I think, generally speaking, a lot of our clients' number one target markets happen to be women. Women make a lot of decisions in the households these days, whether it's just from a shopping for grocery standpoint or a decision to buy a big screen TV. They're very much involved in plans for their children, how much money they give their children to spend. So I think the perspective that we have is we relate to a majority of the audiences that we're talking to.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you seeing any pushback in the economy now? I'm sure it's affecting your clients quite a bit.
Yes, I think every client has been charged with tightening their budgets. Every company has been affected by this recession, and we have been asked to do more with less, and we are responding to that. And of course, we look at our resources and ask them to respond in the same way. We just renegotiated our lease at Lenox Towers, so we're happy with the deal that we managed to get there, and just watching all of our pennies just like our clients are.
Is there anything that is – do you look at this economy as an opportunity, or is this time to bunker down?
Yes, I think it's definitely an opportunity. We have really pushed forward in trying to contact more prospective clients over the last year. I have a full-time person that does nothing but that. And I think turning in about March 2010, we're going to see people opening back up again. That's the word that we get from a lot of the prospects that we're talking to. You know, they're not ready to make a move right now, but budgets are going on at the moment for 2010. And first quarter of next year towards second quarter, I think you're going to start to see everyone starting to spend a little bit more money, opening up those purse strings. And I'm hoping for great opportunities at that time.
Is there anything that in terms of having a smaller budget, are there any things that people can be doing now to kind of capitalize on this? You know, because since less people are spending money, now that they can stand out a little easier, I would think.
Well, what we have found that a lot of our clients are doing is they're getting very much involved in social media, mainly because of the expense. It's not a terribly large investment to start working with Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and really getting their community relationship built with their prospective clients. So they're doing that through special promotions. We work with Cousins Properties, The Avenue here in Atlanta, and they do a lot of Facebook promotions. We do e-blast probably 3 or 4 times a week to their membership list. So that kind of reaching out and touching your client, continuing to develop that loyalty is real important right now, and definitely an inexpensive way to do it.
Now, when you're working in social media, is that something that your agency handles, or do you give them the tools to handle the client themselves?
It works both ways. Some clients are very capable of doing that themselves, but we usually design the any kind of the marketing materials that go out online, whether that's an e-blast or a newsletter, and then they usually send it out themselves. But sometimes we do that for our clients that are smaller that aren't capable of handling that.
And then do some clients use you to handle that kind of one-on-one communication with, like, all their followers and friends?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Now, you do things online, but you also do big production stuff, too, as well, right?
We sure do. We're a full-service agency, so we get involved in print and broadcast and internet, web design, all of it. And that's how we have gotten to know Bill Vanderklut.
And what's the best way for someone to get a hold of you?
Just look at www.infinity.com. That's two E's on the end, not a Y, I-N-F-I-N-I-T-E-E.
Well, I appreciate that. And we're going to talk now with Bill Vanderklut a little bit, and then we'll come back and maybe do a little roundtable discussion and talk about how you guys work together.
Great.
So, Bill, do you mind sharing with our audience a little bit about what you do and your story?
Our company is a film and television production company. And nowadays, really, that means a digital media company. We started out 33 years ago and have broadened out to include script-to-screen production and also broadening out into digital media for the internet, for any kind of distribution that from broadcast, DVD, packaged media, and to internet.
Now, I would imagine your business has been affected by the flip camera. All these, everybody and their mother seems to have a camera in their pocket nowadays. How has that impacted your business?
Well, it does impact it. The barriers to entry are certainly much lower than they used to be. It used to be you had to know how to expose film and get things in focus. Now you don't have to know how to expose film, nor even use a focus. But ultimately, it's about storytelling, and it's about execution. It's not about the equipment. Yes, anyone can pick up a camera, but just like everyone knows the alphabet, but I'm not sure you'd want to read a 400-page novel by just anyone.
Right. Now, when you look at YouTube, what do you see? What is YouTube through the eyes of a master filmmaker like yourself?
Well, I see a lot of cats flushing the toilet, but, I mean, YouTube is a fabulous tool. And I think YouTube really represents what the entire population. I mean, you have from the absurd to the sublime, and YouTube is a fabulous tool for getting the message out. We use it for promoting our programs, television programs, and our work for our corporate and broadcast and advertising clients.
Now, when you're working with a corporate client, how do you show them the value of, you know, hiring somebody like you as opposed to just getting the youngest person on their staff, you know, a video camera and sending them out to interview their clients?
I think what they do is many times they will say, oh, we have someone on staff that can do it, and then they see the results that, mm-hmm. that they get from it. And ultimately, we are storytellers. We work with clients in from script to screen, from taking the client, like working at it with an ad agency, taking storyboards or concepts and turning them into a finished product. And so ultimately, there is a certain skill set necessary to do that. I mean, ultimately, it's all about execution, and the quality really speaks to itself. We ultimately have to create a compelling piece that audiences really can connect with the message.
And over the years, you have created a bunch of those. Why don't you talk a little bit about the 1996 Olympic pitch video that you created?
Yes, we were actually, it started in 1990.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We were asked to create a film for the Atlanta Committee for the Olympic Games to pitch the city of Atlanta. And it had to be a film that could be shown around the world, and this was before DVD, and this was before a lot of all the digital media, and it also had to communicate with people in a number of different languages. Even though the official Olympic languages are English and French, a number of the bid sites were spoke neither. So we created a film, 35-millimeter film, shown in theaters, because the one commonality around the world, at least back then and still, is that you can still show a 35-millimeter piece of film in any theater around the world, and it will show.
Right.
And also, it's a big presentation. And so we created this film, and it was all nonverbal, just music and images of children and how and their aspirations toward being great at different sports. We had an equestrian, a cyclist, and a gymnast. And ultimately, it got the message through.
Now, when you're creating something of that scope, what is the process like? Do they come to you with an idea, or how do you kind of work together with a client in that manner?
Every client is unique. In that case, they didn't have an idea. They looked to us for an idea. In fact, as part of the pitch, we pitched them an idea, a treatment, which is basically a written version of how we saw the film going.
Right.
In other cases, we work with clients where they have ideas or fully worked out storyboards or scripts, and we take it from there. So we work in all sorts of different ways.
What do you prefer?
I like the latest project I'm working on.
And so when you're working with it, sometimes the script will say one thing, but in your mind's eye, you see it a certain way. Like, who has the final say in that? Is that the director, or is that a battle? Each case is different.
I wouldn't say a battle. Really, with all the projects we do, if there is a client, obviously the golden rule is the person with the gold makes the rules. But ultimately, the best work is done in partnership with the client. Mm-hmm. So it's not a battle in the classic sense of the, you know, Hollywood director screaming at the producer. Nothing good gets done that way. So it really is a partnership.
It's collaboration.
Exactly. And many times, you look, a script is simply a jumping off point. Unlike plans for a building, a script is very general. Even storyboards are more or less a generality. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes that spontaneous elaboration that happens on the set with the lighting, with the performance, that deviates from a script but is just wonderful. And everyone sees it and says, that's the direction we go.
Can you share a story that illustrates that, where maybe you were working with something and together with the client you were able to go, you know what? Since the lighting's perfect this way, why don't we look at it this way? Is there anything you can share, an experience that you've had that you've kind of created something bigger than what initially was?
We were shooting some Nissan spots in the desert in California. And the whole idea was not to show any cars. It was for a sale they were doing. And we created these suitcases. This was before digital. You could do everything digitally. And so we had these suitcases built where they would, these metal suitcases, and they would drive toward the camera, you know, remote control, and open up, and they'd be full of cash, and the cash would blow away. And they said, we're not showing any cars in this. We're all showing, all we're doing is showing this, the cash that you're going to save by doing the sale. And we'll just use a still shot of the car at the end. And I said, you know, this desert, it's this in Victorville, California. It's white, beautiful white, almost like talcum powder.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does to a car is just miraculous, because, you know, cars are reflective things. You can't, if you shine a light on it, you'll see the light in the car.
Right.
But when you have the sky, the beautiful sky and the white, it just makes the cars just absolutely pop out. And I said, no, what we need to do is shoot some cars coming towards us, you know, out of the, like the Doctors of Lawrence of Arabia shot, right, of him coming out of the heat waves. And so we did that, and they said, oh, that's great. And sure enough, most of the spot is the car.
The car.
Yeah, is the car, and the cash is an afterthought.
So your eye was what enabled that to happen. They didn't think of it.
Well, I mean,
you were able to visualize, mm-hmm, it. But they were kind of looking at a script, so you're able to look at things visually, where some people have trouble in that area.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think that, you know, sometimes those, when you're there, it's a lot different than being in an office drawing a storyboard.
Right. And so that must be so interesting to be able to travel and to see all these different sites and to make things come alive off the sheet of paper like that.
It is. I love it. I really do love my job. I think you have to, because it is. I know a lot of people. We've filmed in all 50 states and a dozen or so countries around the world, and that's a lot of fun, but it's also a lot of work, because usually on a film shoot, you are there before 5 in the morning,
right?
And you're there probably after the sun goes down. So it sounds great, and it is, but you do have to love it, and you do have to be passionate about it.
Now, how did your business evolve from like kind of ad work into this kind of storytelling? And now you do work with children's programming, mm-hmm. and all sorts of different ways to use the medium.
Well, actually, we started by doing lots of different work, really corporate work for advertising agencies, and also for television programming, documentaries. And I have two sons right now. They're in college, still paying the college tuitions. But when they were younger, I was really looking. They, like any young kids, they ask a million questions, or they asked a million questions back then. And, you know, how big is that? Why is that doing that? And one day we were driving by the airport, and a plane went overhead. And they said, oh, what kind of plane is that? Where are they going? How many people does, you know, just constant questions about how things work. And so I thought, well, I'll try and find a video about things, and we can watch it together.
Right.
And I couldn't find anything that didn't talk down to kids, that wasn't, you know, just really insipid. And so I said, well, I'll make one. And so we got together, in this case with Swissair, and did a show. It's an hour-long documentary on the behind the scenes of an international plane flight, from the pilot training to the flight attendant training to the fueling of the plane and the baggage and what goes into it. And we flew in the cockpit a couple of times over to Europe and showed all the things that go into an international plane flight. And we started marketing it, and it started selling. And we used the profits on that to do another one. And there's now 16 in the series. I'm finishing up number 17 in the next month or so. It's on how food gets to the table.
Wow. So everything's just kind of built upon itself. And
exactly.
There's no end in sight to these.
Well, I hope not. I don't think Walt Disney's losing any sleep, but it's a fun project.
But it started out as just your own kind of idea, mm-hmm. passion, and then
exactly.
you were able to kind of let it have a life of its own. Is there any other projects you're working on right now?
Well, we're finishing up a series of videos for the redesigned Carter Presidential Library and Museum, which opens back to the public next week. And we're doing 7 videos that will be installations in the museum. And that's been really interesting.
And you had mentioned earlier you work with corporations. Have you ever had the occasion to work with Jocelyn?
Oh, we've worked with Jocelyn and her team for many, many years. And they're a really great creative group to work with.
And Jocelyn, do you mind sharing a little bit about what it's like to work with Bill? He's not here.
He's awesome. And again, Barbara, my partner, probably works closer with him. I usually show up for lunch to entertain the client, but they do a lot of work with us in creating television commercials for our clients. And one of the clients that we've had the longest, Tanger Outlet Centers, they do their television commercial every year for them. We usually redo it once every 2 years, sometimes every year. It just depends on the season and the market. But it's a lot of fun, and like Bill said, it's a lot of work. I know how much planning goes into it, because I watch everyone in my office go a little crazy for a few weeks. But between hiring the models and whether the models are speaking, and this last one we just did, we actually had Mr. Tanger Jr. in the spot. So that was kind of interesting, because he's not an actor. So there was a great deal of coaching and editing going on there, and it turned out really, really well.
Do you is that a challenge working with when the owner wants to be in something?
Yes, it's usually a challenge. But you know, he's a really personable younger
right.
man, and he did a really fantastic job. And he's another very passionate person about his company. So during this trying recession economy, it was just important for him to get that message out of the value at those outlet centers, and
that he's personally connected
exactly, to it. And that he's committed to it.
Now, when you're working with actors, can you walk us through what that's like? Because everybody in their head has a different kind of an idea of what, like they're prima donnas, or like how do you work with actors and how do you get a performance that works for you?
Well, I think a lot of people think that for some reason the director is going to take the actor into the corner and tell them something they didn't know.
Right.
And they'll come out and suddenly they've got it.
Right.
I think what you need to do is tap into, first of all, you've cast that person, unless, of course, they're the owner of the company.
And you got to work with what you got.
As Jocelyn said, that you tap into what's there, and what's there is the passion, in this case, the owner of the company,
right?
The title or head of the company. So there's a passion for that business. With an actor that you've cast, there's a reason you cast them. They look right, they feel right, they sound right, they've got that character. And so what you need to do is make sure that let them know exactly where they can touch that character and pull it out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's done all at once in performance on stage, or other times it's done in editing where they get one part of it right and then you take another part and put that together.
Right. Now, do you ever work with animals?
Oh. Yes.
I'm sure you got good, funny stories about animals.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, see, that's different. There's not too much tapping into anything there.
Their motivation?
Their motivation is to get a treat. And one of the things I first learned about animals in one of the first spots I ever did, thought, well, we'll just hire a professional animal trainer. And this unknown secret is that there are no really, in a sense, trained animals. They just do things for different reasons.
Right.
And sometimes the storyboards, the people thinking up the storyboards think, oh, well, of course the dog would want to do this. And if it's something a dog doesn't normally do, the dog really doesn't want to do it.
Right.
So the best animal performances that we've gotten are things that a dog would, or a cat or whatever would normally do. But you have to be patient. I mean, I shoot wildlife films. And so you sit out in the woods and just wait for things to happen. And in some ways, shooting with animals, you have to schedule a very long day,
mm-hmm.
because it will take a long time. We just finished a spot for that. Will actually, it's not a spot. It's for a web page where a dog for PetSmart, where a dog comes out and pulls walks across the page and then pulls the next page.
Oh, cool.
Open. And so in order to do that, we had to have someone behind a green, we had them against green screen, and the trainer had them, had a treat in their hand, and the dog would almost touch their hand, and then the trainer would move toward the dog, and the dog would move back, looking right, focused right on the treat, so it looked like then we connected it later, and they pulled the page right out.
And that just took like 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, it took more like 5 hours.
Now, Jocelyn, do you ever use animals?
Not very often.
Now we know why,
thank
right?
You.
I think animals and children are the two biggest challenges when you have them on set. We did do a spot years ago that was strictly with a dog. And it was a retail client, and we pretty much showed the dog waiting at home for their parent to come. And so the dog was running back and forth between the windows and the doors and sleeping and getting in trouble. And then finally, at the very end, he's standing in front of the little white picket fence, huffing and puffing with his tail wagging as she comes home with all of these wonderful shopping baggers from our retail
client. So doing that one time was enough to say that's the end of the animals.
Well, it's always more important to show some of the merchandise. So.
Right. Well, Bill, is there a website that people can get a hold of you or learn more about you?
Yes, they can go to magiclantern.com, which is our studio, M-A-G-I-C-K, Old English spelling, L-A-N-T-E-R-N.
And that'll take them to all your other ventures?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Jocelyn, one more time for Infinity?
It's www.infinity.com.
Great. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on, and that'll wrap up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And next week, I hope that Amy will be feeling better and we will have her back. Thanks.